Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54. And we're going to camp there for a while because I want to share from this chapter with you. The Lord really, a couple of weeks ago, I told you I was going to share from it. And this week, I really got the release of the Lord to bring it to you because I feel like it's time for this. We've been talking a lot about how God always wants us to move through our wilderness, through our deserts, and into an abundant place, right? Amen? Into a promised land, or you could fill in a lot of words there to describe what that means. Or I love this one, a well-watered place. And God's wanting us to bring us to that place. But the word that's really been on my heart lately, and what I don't want you to misunderstand about this, I know we need, you know, an enlarged place. Would you agree?
Yes.
We need bigger facilities to do what God wants to do. And if anything, just to prepare for what God wants to bring to us. And you might say, well, we're still in the throes of COVID and distancing, and so many people are not even released right now to come and be with us and all of that. But I hear the Lord saying that you live with expectancy, but if you're really expectant, you'll prepare.
Amen. Yeah. Right.
If you're really expectant, if faithfully expectant, as you wait on the Lord, you'll prepare for it. Amen? And so with that in mind, I just want to challenge you today as the Lord and the Holy Spirit's been challenging me. So go to Isaiah 54 if you would, but let me set it up for you. Isaiah 53 is the chapter that we know well. It reveals Jesus, the suffering servant of the Lord, right?
Yeah.
It reveals the Lord. It reveals that He's going to shed His blood and sprinkle many nations. That He was what? Wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. Amen. He was chastened for our peace and well-being, and by His stripes we were healed. Amen. Hallelujah. And this is what is revealed in Isaiah 53. Always remember this today as I bring these verses out to you. The prophetic book of Isaiah, the only reason we have chapters and verse numbers is that kind of gives you an address to find a verse. But even in between the chapters, there's a flow prophetically. You got to be really careful. I know a lot of times we do that. I'm going to read a chapter today or whatever, and that's okay. But you really need to understand what led into that. And that's why I want to remind you of what Isaiah 53 was about before we go into this 54, because it's really important. Remember this. The Lord made His sacrifice, and He says in Isaiah 53 that the Lord will be satisfied. And He will say that by His knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify many, for He bore the sin of many, and He interceded for the transgressors. How many glad He was faithful to fulfill that purpose? It was the work on the cross. When He suffered on the cross, do you remember what He said? It is finished. It has been accomplished. It has been fulfilled. You could say it this way, Isaiah 53, amen?
Yeah.
What was prophesied of me as the Lamb of God slain, it has been done. Amen? And that's what He literally was saying before the Father as He released that up. The debt has been paid, beloved.
Amen.
Paid in full.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's the love of God right there. Hallelujah. And our personal response to this good news is obviously to believe it, right? And to receive it by repenting and giving our lives to Jesus and receiving of Him and receiving salvation. That's our personal response. But what I want to talk to you about today, as a people and as a church and as the remnant of God in this hour, what is our ongoing prophetic response? Beyond your personal salvation, which is important, because God can't use you if you don't become born again. You need to come into the family of God like we're singing about today. But the following verses are very important. Interesting, after all of this, you might read that and think, wow, what Jesus did for me. And how many know we ought to be in awe of what He did? We ought to be in awe of how He suffered. Would you agree?
Yes.
Worshiping awe. But yet, interestingly, after this is somewhat settled or laid down prophetically, why and when and what He was going to do, then in Isaiah 54, verse 1, look there with me. What does it say? What does it say? Shout for joy. But what does He call us? O barren ones, you who have borne no child, break forth into joyful shouting and cry aloud. Again, I'm not trying to be redundant, but I just don't want you to be confused. That cry aloud means to lift up like a cry out from your voice. Okay? Not cry as in fall apart. Okay? Break forth into joyful shouting and cry aloud, you who have not travailed. For the sons of the desolate one will be more numerous than the sons of the married woman. By the way, who said that? Says the Lord. Amen? Everybody say that. Says the Lord. This is a word from God. And what it reveals to us today is because of Isaiah 53, because of the sacrifice of Christ, he has many, many spiritual descendants.
Amen.
And he's actually asking us to shout for them. Are y'all with me? He's asking us to shout and believe for them to come forth. And interestingly, the spiritual birth rate of the sons and daughters of God will outnumber the natural birth rate of the married fruitful woman. What a sign that is. Is that not a sign? And I tell you, the father's heart, a father's heart is this, to have children. A father's heart is to love their children. And a father's heart is the desire for more children. God is really big on his family being big. Amen? And his house being big for the glory of God. And whether you have natural children or not, and that's a blessing too, but whether you have natural children or not, we're called to desire and long for our spiritual children. It's that harvest we talk about. Amen? And I don't know about you, I kind of know I should want to win people to Jesus, but do I desire it? How many know we need to have a shift there? Let's be honest. It's one thing to know we need to witness and win the lost and reach out to people and help restore that prodigal you work with or whatever that's wandered away from God, whatever it may be. But I want to desire it with a shout of passion,
amen,
with an excitement that God wants to use me to bring them into the kingdom. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
It's really important for that. Now, I'm going to reference a couple of verses. For the sake of time, we're not going to put them on the screen and I'm not going to ask you to turn to them. But you might want to make note of them, especially if they bless your heart, and I believe they will. We already know the one from Isaiah 60. What does it say? Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. We all know that verse. Though darkness covers the earth, and though deep darkness is upon the peoples, what? The glory of the Lord will shine on you. But do you know what it says beyond that? It says this, that nations will come to your rising. Nations will be drawn to the glory of the Lord on our lives. How are y'all with me?
Yeah.
And we will lift up our eyes and see, and it says we will gather together, for our sons and our daughters will come from afar.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
There's an excitement I believe the Lord wants to bring us into here at the end of the age to see our spiritual sons and daughters coming in the Spirit.
Yeah.
And then to see them actually coming. Anybody want to see that? I want to see that. I want that kind of a fruitfulness. I don't like barrenness. How about you? I don't like spiritual barrenness. And I know none of us do because we weren't born again to be barren. We were born again to bear fruit. Hallelujah. There's two other verses in Jeremiah. You jot these down, especially if you have natural children. Jeremiah 30:19. It prophesies of restoration. It says in that verse that we'll multiply, we will not diminish, that we will not be insignificant. Y'all hear me, Freedom Gate? We will not be insignificant.
Amen.
Amen. The congregation will be established. Amen?
Amen.
And I love this part. Underline this. Our children will be as formerly. Hallelujah. If you have any children who are not even where they used to be spiritually or in their walk with the Lord, you need to begin to declare that. My children will be as formerly. And that can be spiritual children too. Because a lot we've talked about, there's been a lot of falling away. There's an apostasy that's been taking place. But in the next chapter of Jeremiah, this one will be up quoting from verse 16 of Jeremiah 31. I love this. Our work will be rewarded. Come on. And there is hope for our future. But notice what the hope is grounded in. Hear this. Our children will return from the land of the enemy.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. And return to their own territory. In other words, they'll get back to their assignment in the kingdom of God. Anybody want to believe for that?
Yeah.
See, that's your future.
Yeah.
And when you get older like me, you're going to realize your future and your legacy is in the fruit of those who you've reached for Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hallelujah. I believe we're to be shouting for and looking for our natural and our spiritual descendants. Some of y'all getting nervous because I said we're going to look at Isaiah 54 and I'm still on verse 1. But it's okay, relax. Because the first verse is the most powerful when we go there. But some of our children will be those, obviously, who we will reach out to and they will be born again, right? Some will be prodigals that have known God but need to come home to God. Hallelujah. And some will be our own natural flesh and blood children that will return. Hallelujah. And they don't have to be young as what we would call kids. Some of our children are adults. Are you with me? All right. So here's the thing. Whatever you believe for, and get this, and shout for. Very important. Whatever you believe for and shout for in faith, you will receive. Hallelujah. There is such a prophetic, powerful significance in the shout. Because what happens, barrenness is broken off. Interesting, you have to break free from barrenness. And you don't break free from it in passivity. Amen? Now let's go to verse 2. Verse 2. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Spare not. Lengthen your cords and what? Strengthen your pegs, or your, some translations say your stakes. We get the picture there of a tent, right? That's being extended out. If you go to camp meetings, you know, they can extend those tents out. They can extend the cords and they can add flaps or remove flaps. And they can express, and God's wanting us to think that way prophetically about what He wants to do. How many know it's time to enlarge our place?
Yes.
Amen. It's time to enlarge. It's time to prepare for increase. But here's the thing. Preparation is obviously preparation. You have to prepare before the increase comes. Because a lot of times, well, let's be honest, a lot of times in a lot of things in the kingdom or in business or anything, it's a little late to start preparing once it's all on your doorstep.
Yeah.
And we need to be prepared. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. I mean, you're going to have a baby that's getting ready to come. You might want to get the nursery ready.
Yeah, that's
hallelujah.
Right.
Isn't that right, Becky? Hallelujah. While we definitely need to be enlarged facility-wise, and everybody says amen, we first need to be enlarged within. Each and every one of us, we need to be enlarged. Because I don't care if it's in a movie that you may love the movie, but it don't work that way. If you build it, they'll come. We have to build it in here. Are you with me? First. I'm not saying there's no need for another place. I'm just saying we have to build it within ourselves. Amen? And that releases us into what God wants to do. Do y'all receive that?
Yes.
You receive that? You might say, why? Because children are coming.
Amen?
Our sons and daughters are coming. Hallelujah. And if you're expectant, you'll be prepared.
Amen.
He's leading us to our what? Abundant place. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And I need each of you, those of you at home, those of you here today, I need each of you to first be enlarged within your heart.
Amen.
All right, let's go to verse 3. For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left. By the way, that's not a political statement. And your descendants... good time there for a little donkey and elephant joke, but I didn't do it. All right. And your descendants will what? Say it with me.
Possess
nations and resettle desolate cities. Hallelujah. See, that's the destiny of the people that we reach. Hallelujah. They have a destiny, which is why we need to be committed to making disciples.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen? To equip and train. You just don't get born again and go resettle desolate cities. You got to be discipled and equipped and trained into that. Amen? Hallelujah. Verse 4. Fear not, for you will not be put to shame. And do not feel humiliated, for you will not be what? Disgraced. But you will forget the shame of your youth and the reproach of your widowhood you will remember no more. For your... Now get this now. Now remember, this is prophetic imagery. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Your husband... We're all adults here, right? Your husband, he will impregnate you. Is who? Is who? It's on the screen. Is your maker. Say my maker. Whose name is the Lord of hosts. And your redeemer is who? The Holy One of Israel, who is called the God of all the earth. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? That's why you can fear not. That's why you don't have to worry about being humiliated or disgraced. Because God is faithful. Amen? He will not let us down and He will not forsake us. Hallelujah. What the enemy tries to do is to bring up our past. Does he not?
Yeah.
He brings up churches' past. He brings up families' past or individuals' past. You know, times we believe for that or this and that didn't happen or this didn't happen. And he loves to do that because he likes to celebrate in our memories our failures and our barrenness, which causes us to have shame.
Yeah.
Which causes us to have shame. And when you have shame, you get into fear. And then you don't do anything. Now you're paralyzed.
Yeah.
Anybody with me?
Yeah.
We've all been there. But our husband is our maker. Hallelujah. He's committed. But here's the thing. You have to be intimate with him to be fruitful.
Right. Yeah.
Amen? A wife who's not intimate with her husband cannot expect to have a child with him.
Yeah.
Everybody, y'all okay? I don't need to show a video or nothing,
yeah.
Do I? Okay. You have to be intimate
right.
If you want children with him. Are y'all seeing, you seeing how Isaiah is painting this picture, okay?
Yeah.
Let's go to verse 6. For the Lord has called you, like a wife forsaken and grieved in spirit, even like a wife of one's youth when she is rejected, says your God. For a brief moment I forsook you, but with great compassion I will what? Gather you. In an outburst of anger, I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting loving kindness. That's where the worship ended today, didn't it? I will have what? Compassion on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. For this is like the days of Noah to me, when I swore that the waters of Noah would not flood the earth again. So I have sworn that I will not be angry with you, nor will I rebuke you. For the mountains may be removed, and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord who has compassion on you. How many of you are glad that His covenant is called the covenant of peace? That means it's a covenant of rest. It's a covenant of calm and tranquility. It's not a covenant of anxiety and everything shaking. Because see, the kingdom we've been invited into, that you were born again into, is an unshakable kingdom. Do y'all believe that? Hallelujah. I'm not trying to be redundant. I know I mention it almost every week. But we don't need to be shaking because of the shaking. We need to be grounded in God. His covenant with us is a covenant of peace. So don't be shaken by the shaking. But also, don't doubt in the dark what you heard in the light. Amen? We have to learn. How many know when things are shaking, I've got to remember, no, my God's not shaking. God's not freaking out. He's not throwing in the towel. He's not, you know, alarmed. Amen? When God sounds an alarm, He sounds an alarm for us to awaken. But He's not alarmed. Hallelujah. I mean, I hope you believe that about your God, that He's got that much knowledge and foreknowledge and understanding, right? But also when He shows and reveals things to us and it seems dark and it seems like it's not a word from God, that's when you have to trust and lean into God. Amen? Now go to verse 11. O afflicted one, storm-tossed and not comforted, I will set your stones an antimony. I don't even know if I said that right. It's not a word I use, so I looked it up. It actually means to be like setting a stone in mortar. Okay? Like a building block or a stone, to set it in mortar. And your foundations I will lay in sapphires. How many know God loves beauty? Yeah. I say God loves beauty. Amen. And He said He was going to glorify His people, His church. Amen? Amen? This is just, again, the imagery of what God wants to do in us. Moreover, I will make you rubies in your gates of crystal and your entire wall of what? Precious stones. But look at verse 13. All your sons and your daughters will be what? Taught of the Lord, and the well-being of your sons will be what? Great. How many of you know, if they're not taught, if they're not discipled, they won't be great? Hello? It doesn't happen that way. It's not enough just to be a part of the multitude. God's calling us. How many of you want to see that happen? Amen? Go to verse 14. In righteousness you will be established, and you will be far from oppression. Anybody want that? Hallelujah. For you will not fear, and from terror, for it will not come near to you. How many of you know that sounds very much like Psalm 91, doesn't it? The blessings and the protection of Psalm 91. I don't know about you, but I like that idea where oppression will be far from me. Yeah. It doesn't mean the enemy won't come against me. It just means when he comes against me one way, guess what? He's got to flee before me seven ways. I don't live oppressed because of a battle. I get the breakthrough in Jesus. Hallelujah. Now look at the next verse. If anyone fiercely assails you, what does it say? What does it say? Say it out loud. It will not be from me. By the way, that's a capital M, God, okay? Whoever assails you will fall because of you. And behold, I myself have created the smith who blows the fire of coals and brings out a weapon for its work. And I have created the destroyer to ruin. No weapon. Everybody say, no weapon.
No weapon.
Say it again. No weapon. That is formed against you will prosper.
Amen.
And every tongue that accuses you in judgment, you will condemn it. How do I condemn a word that's not true? Right? I proclaim the truth.
That's right.
Amen? Amen? Truth trumps the facts. Truth Amen. Trumps the lies. Amen?
Amen?
And that's how you do it. Amen? Not meaning we go out condemning people, but we speak against those words that are not God's words.
Right.
If you curse me, then guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to turn it into a blessing.
Yeah.
Amen? This is what? Come on, let's finish it. This is what? The heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. Hallelujah. Is that not a powerful chapter?
Yes.
Is that not powerful? Our inheritance as the children of God, get this, is that the Lord God the Almighty will be our vindicator. Hallelujah. He leads me into triumph. Hallelujah. He is my breakthrough. He is my victory. And He is my vindicator, which means He defends me and He brings me in to the abundant place He is destined and ordained for me. Now, I told you these verses immediately follow the revelation of Jesus, the sacrifice. And we're told to believe for something. And I like to put it this way. Isaiah 54 and even a few verses beyond that actually reveal to us our prophetic response to Jesus' suffering. How do we respond to that? And what are we believing for? And I believe within what I just read to you, there are seven ways we respond. Let me review them with you. Ready? First of all, what's the first thing we do? We break out of barrenness with what? A shout. Amen? We break out with a shout. It's a shout of victory. It's a shout of celebration. It's the shout that activates your faith. How many of you ever believed and prayed for something and you just kind of let out a hallelujah and it's like something shifted? Amen? Hallelujah. The shout also silences the enemy. And how many of you know you need him to be silenced? If you're going to be believing, for example, that we're going to be fruitful with spiritual sons and daughters, I got news for you. The enemy's going to lie to you about all the weeks and months and years you weren't fruitful. Right? And one of the best ways to shut his mouth is to start praising the Lord and lifting up a shout to God. Amen? Shout with joy. What does it say in the Psalms? Says, I think it's Psalm 126. Don't quote me on that. It's in the Psalms. It's one of the 150. It says this, that though we sow with tears, we will reap with shouts of joy. Notice that. You reap with joy. And so a lot of times if we try to reap someone into the kingdom of God in sorrow and grief and all of that, they won't come in. The harvest is brought forth with joy. Amen. Even though we may sow with tears, but we reap with joy. Y'all getting this? The shout is powerful. Jesus suffered and died that He would bring many sons and daughters to glory. Many. That word there. Many nations. Many sons and many daughters. But please know this. Respectfully, I say this to all of us, myself included. Our barrenness cannot be broken off of us without a shout. As everybody quietly goes, amen. It can't be broken off. It's really the only verse that directly confronts it in Scripture. And all we're told to do is shout. Well, you can't shout if you don't believe it. But if you believe it, you need to shout. How about that? Okay. The second thing we learn from what we just read in Isaiah 54 is we must prepare for increase. Everybody say increase. Again, it's time to get the nursery ready. Hallelujah. Children are coming and we're going to need a bigger house. Hallelujah. So let's enlarge. Let's stretch out. But also, I like to strengthen your stakes. How many of you know what God wants to do with anything we do in reaching out? Your stakes have to be established in the house of God. Amen? That's very, very important because the people we reach need to get established in the house of God. There needs to be that connection of the ultimate house of God. But we have to make room for the increase and the multiplication. And this, again, let me remind you, this enlargement is not just in the natural. It's within us. Amen? If I told you what I'm believing for, like facility-wise, you might go, whoa, dude, pump the brakes. But see, God's enlarging my heart. Are you with me? Which takes us to the third thing that we learn is we need to be dreamers. Amen? We need to dream. We need to envision. Everybody say envision. Which what are you doing with that? You're beginning to see through a sanctified imagination. You're beginning to see with the eyes of faith. I want to believe. There's several. I love to meditate in the book of Acts nearly every day. But I love the passage that says, and the Lord was adding to their number daily those who were being saved. Or constantly the disciples were being added to their number. And then you read further in the Acts and it says, and the disciples were multiplying. Anybody want to get to that place? Amen? Amen? Amen. I want to be in that place. I really do. And I think it'll require a bigger building than this one. I really do. What God wants to do. Everybody relax. We're not going to start taking up money to build a building. God's got one for us. What, baby?
Give it to me.
Yes. Yeah, okay, at the close of my message, Susan's going to receive an offering. Okay. Yeah. But dream and envision, it says they're coming from afar. not a fire like in the south. Hey, they're coming from afar. They must smell like smoke. Old joke. Shouldn't have brought it back up. But they're coming, which, can I, hear me, that means they're not here yet. They're not among us right now, but they're coming. Say they're coming. Come on. But can you, when you see them coming, don't just see them coming and joining us on Sunday mornings. I'm looking forward to that. Amen? I'm looking forward to the roar of praise of a multitude. Amen? But, we need to see them also pursuing their purpose and destiny in the kingdom, which is what? Which is what? Possessing nations and resettling the desolate cities. See, it's really in the heart of this generation. They love to go, even now, even people that aren't even Christians, you know, not even believers for the kingdom, they love to go and revitalize areas. It happens in my hometown in Memphis, and it's happening here in parts of it. There's just something in them to want to resettle. And I believe it's something of a divineness that God has placed within them. They just don't realize it's for the kingdom's purposes. Amen? Are y'all with me? The fourth thing we learn from that passage is do not fear. Everybody say, fear not. I don't know that there's any phrase. I haven't checked it out for sure, but I'm pretty sure it's at the top probably of one of the most common things said by God, by the Spirit of God to His servants. Yeah. Over and over and over, which means something. Fear is going to present itself to us. Okay? But that doesn't mean you have to receive it.
That's right.
I love what the old Word of Faith teacher Charles Capps used to say. If the devil comes to your door with a bag of snakes, don't receive it.
Yeah.
He said, don't just open the door and go, well, it must be God's will. Just throw them in the living room. Right? That's how some people are. And when fear approaches you, the Bible says, take courage. And be bold and be strong. I like to shout because I really think the devil is afraid of my shout. Because when I shout, Isaiah also says in another passage that God arises like a man of war. And he utters a war cry. Are y'all with me? He utters a war cry. And I got news for you. When God utters a war cry, the demons are out. Amen? Like turning on a light in a roach-filled kitchen. Hallelujah. They're out of here, right? Except the brave ones hang around and laugh at you. But anyway, listen. But we do this fearing not. I think it's really this simple. Trusting in the love and the faithfulness of God. Because if you can trust in the love and the faithfulness of God, you can take courage.
Yes.
Amen? How many know that's true? Because God didn't give you fear. But what does He give you? Power and love and a sound mind. Hallelujah. I mean, we need that. But you know, He also mentioned in that passage that we read that we should not be embarrassed or ashamed or humiliated. And can I tell you, how can I expect to be a witness for someone that I'm embarrassed of? You know? If God's looking at us like the bride or the wife, then we can't be ashamed of our husband. Right? Y'all see what I'm going with this? We should unashamedly celebrate. Because I say to you today, Freedom Gate, and all of our friends and partners, I want to say to you right now, we will multiply. Amen? Hallelujah. We will increase. We will not be insignificant. Hallelujah. Our children are going to return from the land of the enemy. Hallelujah. And the congregation will be established. And that's God's intention. Another key on the fear not part is we need to be all in. Everybody say all in.
All in.
You know, anything in life, the people that were all in, I don't care if you're talking athletics, their gift in music or whatever. If you're all in, that's the key.
That's right.
To be all in. That's why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom. Amen? And His righteousness. And everything else will be taken care of. Amen? When people are all in and they're committed and they're voted, here's the thing. I'm devoted. When you're committed and devoted, when you're all into something, stay with me. When you begin to move according to that devotion, that's where courage comes. I'll never forget when we were forming the team to come to Arizona almost 15 years ago, over 14 years ago. And, you know, a year or two prior to that, we were developing the team and praying, and we realized it was going to be Phoenix because we wanted to be in Arizona, continue our outreaches to the Navajo and Apache and beyond. And so as we began to do that and we developed a team and we knew in our hearts we were supposed to go to Phoenix, then you had to be really careful that you didn't allow the enemy to take circumstances in life to permit you from actually making the move, right? The house won't sell or whatever. And I know you've heard Susan and I's testimony about that because we kept saying the minute the house sells, we're gone. Well, the enemy could delay that house sale for 2 years. But the minute we said, no, we're leaving in a month, the house sold in like 3 days. I'm not kidding you. But here's the part I wanted you to see. I'll never forget when we actually packed up and when we crossed the Mississippi River, that would be our river, because the Mississippi is, Memphis is right on the Mississippi River. And when you cross the Mississippi, and it is a mighty river. I'm sorry, Arizona, you don't know what a river looks like. But when you cross that river into Arkansas, I mean, you feel like, you know, you're leaving something about like the east, and you're moving now into a different area. And when we moved in, I remember we were driving away. I know Susan and I said the same. There's something about moving within your commitment and your devotion that releases courage. Amen. Did we not? We had this courage. And how many know we need courage if we're not going to fear? Right. Nothing said that what we were doing was sensible, right? No jobs, no, you know, but God just orchestrated. And as people moved within their devotion and their commitment and being all in, and we were like that. We were kind of like burned the ships. We're not going back. And it released the courage. So I want to encourage you in that. That can be something very personal level in your life, but we also need to have that attitude as a church. Amen? Let's be all in. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
The enemy. Well, we'll have an altar call right now. The enemy actually fears you being all in. Because you know why? Because the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose hearts are all in. If I could paraphrase that verse. He strongly supports it. So the enemy is terrified of somebody that's all in. Amen? Say all in. Hallelujah. As one in Jesus' name. Another thing too. He knows. Isn't it interesting? Israel had to cross first the Red Sea, right? Well, how many of you know, when those waters came back through and swallowed up the Egyptians, they weren't going back either. You couldn't go back. Because God wasn't going to part the waters for you to go back. Amen? Hallelujah. Even when they crossed Jordan at flood stage, the miracle of that, to cross Jordan, once they crossed over, they weren't going back. So you had to be committed. You had to be all in. Okay, I got to be careful because I wasn't going to spend that kind of time on that. The fifth thing we learned from Isaiah 54 is, and I know I taught on this a lot before the holidays, and I don't even like to say the word COVID. It makes me so mad. And all that went on, I tell you guys, hear me. We have to be committed to discipleship and living a disciple's life so that we can make disciples. Right. Amen? Because God's not looking to just fill up seats. But nobody's changing. Nobody's being transformed. God doesn't want that. I like to put it this way. The scripture says, live in such in a manner worthy of your calling. Y'all like that? Live in a manner worthy of your calling. And to live a disciple's life is what he's asking to. And yes, there is a cost. And there's nothing like that with the disciplines of the Lord that doesn't require us to lay it down, to let go of our control, to give it to Jesus. Are you with me? And so it's really important for us to understand that. Live in a manner worthy of your calling. There is a cost. You know, in Jeremiah 31, I'm not going to quote from it directly, but when it says that the Lord promises that he will, that our work will be rewarded. Remember that verse I quoted you? Our work will be rewarded, and our children will return from that land of the enemy. He goes on to say in that chapter, he says, set up for yourself road marks and guideposts, and direct your mind to the highway, the way by which you went. So I think for a lot of us, even the idea of like discipleship and things like that, God is saying, go back to the way. Because how many know, if Jesus was the way when you first got saved, he's still the way today. Amen. And so the Lord's saying, how many know we need that sometimes? But I do want to make, and I'm not trying to be redundant about, but I got another verse this week that supported what I shared with you back before the holidays. Discipleship has to be, if it's going to be effective, relational. Right. Are y'all with me? Right. It's got to be relational. Jesus didn't call people, he didn't call the 12 to come follow him and meet him for a Bible college class every week. It was relational. And I know we're limited in how relational we can be, but we can do better than we've done. Amen? And I've written all kinds of stuff over the years, but I'm telling you, it's the relational part of it. And Jesus modeled that. I mean, these guys, they had to pay a cost. They had to walk away from their businesses and various things and go and basically follow Jesus around for 3.5 years. That was what was required of them to be his disciple. Amen? Amen. Now, I want to show you a verse, because I was looking at Malachi, and I was meditating in the book of Malachi, and I want you to look at a verse with me. Keep your hand in Isaiah 54, because I'm going to go back there to end in a few moments, okay? But if you can, flip over or just look up on the screen. Malachi 3:16, look at this with me. Then those who feared the Lord, what does it say? Spoke to one another. Underline that. Spoke to one another. And look at this. And the Lord gave attention and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who esteem his name. They will be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I prepare my own possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. So you will again distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. How many know that's strong, isn't it? But I'll be honest with you. I really felt the Holy Spirit told me to look at the... First I thought he said, look at the Passion Translation. Well, the Passion hasn't been done in Malachi. Yeah. And he said, no, the Message. The Holy Spirit said that to me. So I went over to the... Let me read it to you. Ready? Listen to this. It's so good. Then those whose lives honored God got together and talked it over. Everybody say relational. And God saw what they were doing and listened in. Isn't that cool? A book was opened in God's presence, and get this, and minutes were taken of the meeting. I love the way he writes that. Minutes were taken of the meeting with the names of the God-fearers written down. And all the names of those who honored God's name. And God of the angel army said, they're mine. They're all mine. Isn't that good? They'll get special treatment when I go into action. Amen. I treat them with the same consideration and kindness that parents give the child who honors them. Once more, you'll see the difference it makes between being a person who does the right thing and the one who does not, between serving God and not serving Him. Wow. And I believe the Lord is saying to us, and like I shared with you so much before the holidays, the relational aspect of this is what we have to have. And we're going to do everything we can to make that happen. Amen? Yeah. But boy, is that not a confirming passage? It's like God is in on it. He said, hey, get a book out. I want to take some minutes here. I love the way they're talking to each other. And they're talking about the Scripture. And they're encouraging one another. See, that's what God wants. So I want you to be encouraged. Amen? Amen? It's how we relate to one another in the body of Christ. We're going to find a way to make this happen. We'll have groups getting together. We'll do Zoom groups. Whatever we got to do. But we're not going to keep delaying something so important because of a virus. Amen? 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 The sixth, there's only seven, relax. The sixth thing is, and this is not directly spoken of. This is why I was in Malachi. Does anybody know how the book of Malachi ends before I say number six? It said, behold, I will send you what? Elijah the prophet. Before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. And he will what? Turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. Lest I come and smite the Lamb with a curse. In other words, if it doesn't happen, there's a curse. Where's that void? And I know we've heard a lot of takes on it. But Malachi, by the way, number six, if you're taking notes, is we must contend and receive this Elijah anointing. Amen? For a time such as this. Because it's all about turning our hearts toward the children. The children, meaning the harvest of sons and... Yes, kids, but also the harvest. Yeah. Amen. Those who will be our spiritual sons and daughters. To turn our hearts toward them. And if we'll do that under the anointing, they'll turn their hearts toward us. Amen. But it's on us to make that move. Amen. Malachi spoke of Elijah coming. And I'm convinced it's for today too, because see, Jesus is coming again. Amen. Amen. The day of the Lord's drawing near. If you'll remember, Elijah's mantle fell to the ground, and his servant Elijah had asked him if he could have a double portion. Remember that? And so he said, well, if you are with me when I go up into the whirlwind, then you can have what you ask. But you've asked for a hard thing. And so guess what? Elijah didn't leave his side till the man died. He went straight into heaven. Well, that's a way to die. How about that? Actually, your spirit goes into heaven as a believer when your body quits, right? You believe that? Yeah. Hallelujah. So he takes it. He has a double portion. But then his disciples ask, well, Lord, we believe you're the Messiah, but what happened with the thing about Elijah coming first? And then he explained to him, remember? He said, I'd say unto you, it was John the Baptist. And he came what? In the spirit and power of Elijah. It's not about Elijah the man. It's about the anointing that was on Elijah the man. Amen? But then in the same breath, Jesus says this, but I say unto you, Elijah is coming and he will restore all things. And many prophets and men and women of God that are theologians and have studied this out prophetically that are full of the Holy Spirit believe that this anointing is going to be on the remnant bride.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
To prepare for the coming of the Lord. And I just want to encourage you. And the reason I want to encourage you in it is I don't think you just get something because you attend church. I believe you get it because you contend for it.
That's right.
Amen? You reach out and you possess it.
That's right.
You take hold of it. But I have to give you a warning. Well, before the warning, Jesus said this. He said, if you earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to your children, how much will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? We all have the Holy Spirit, but can I tell you, there's anointings and mantles and things that we need to contend for and believe for.
Yes.
Amen? Because it all comes from the Holy Spirit. Okay? Are you blessed with the blessing of Abraham?
Yes.
Well, it's the law of first mention. Therefore, it's called the blessing of Abraham. This anointing, it's the Holy Spirit, but it's referenced because, so you remember, it started with a man named Elijah.
Amen?
Amen? Now, the warning, we must not tolerate Jezebel. The Jezebel spirit, okay? This is a demonic spirit of witchcraft and manipulation, and it operates, I believe, in my study of the Word, it operates through, first of all, mixture. Everybody say mixture. Which is idolatry. Because she told the children of Israel, this is what stirred up Elijah. He said, you've got the sons of Israel. You've told them it's okay to be a child of Israel and worship Jehovah, but also to worship Baal. And Elijah confronted that, as we know.
Yeah.
On Mount Carmel, he confronted it with the great showdown that we know.
Yeah.
And so we have that. But we also have immorality. In the book of Revelation, one of the churches, it was written to them. You remember that? He said, but you tolerate Jezebel.
Yeah.
And what she was doing in this instance in the church was bringing into immorality.
Right.
And he said, if you don't repent, you're going to be stricken with illness because of this. And that's how serious it is.
Yeah.
Okay? But the other thing, and I think the main thing she does, especially if you have a heart for God and you want to walk in this anointing, is she threatens.
Mm-hmm.
She loves to threaten. Are y'all with me?
Oh, yeah.
She threatens. To bring what? Fear and intimidation. To get you to kind of back down, cower down, back off. To not be all in. Remember when Elijah calls down fire. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Everybody celebrated. God is God. It's not Baal. Then he turns around. Get this. And he slew 450 prophets of Baal. And then Jezebel says, a threat. So it will be unto you. This day, and he runs. Anybody ever kind of scratched their head going, what? But see, it was the spirit. It's the spirit. It's a principality. It's a demonic force. And that threat terrified him for some reason. And he ran, and he ran, and he ran, and he ends up under a juniper tree. And then he says to God, I'm done. Basically said, would you mind killing me? Or give me permission to commit suicide? He literally did. He said, I'm done. But then he complained because he was frustrated at the state of Israel and their lack of commitment to God. That ultimately, and let me tell you, there's many men and women of God that have wanted to throw in the towel on a Monday morning, even after a great Sunday. Believe me, I know it happens. No matter how powerful the service was, or the outreach, or the revival, or whatever, and then suddenly you start having these thoughts of, man, I'm just tired, I'm done. Nobody else is in this like I am. Hello. And I like to call it, you know, the pastor's pity party. Three P's. The pastor's pity party. Amen? But you know what? He said, you know what he said? He said, Lord, I alone am left. And you know what the Lord said? There are 7,000 in Israel who have not bowed their knee to Baal. Come on, y'all. We're not alone.
Amen.
We're not alone to believe for these things and to contend for these things.
We are alone.
Hallelujah. We're not alone. There's a lot of remnant churches.
Yes.
that are believing for this. We're not alone. Hallelujah. 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 Again, this spirit and power of Elijah is that anointing. We'll pray for to see our children. We'll pray for them. We'll shout for them. Amen. We'll see them coming with the eyes of faith. We'll turn our hearts toward them when they're coming. And we'll disciple and prepare them.
Amen.
Amen? To possess nations and resettle desolate cities. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
But James said this. The earnest prayer of a righteous man, what?
Availeth
much. Are you righteous in Christ Jesus?
Amen.
Then your earnest prayers are powerful.
That's right.
Okay? And then he says this. Please get this. Please get this. He said, the very next verse, he said, for Elijah was a man with a nature just like ours. But when he prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain, it did not. And it didn't rain again until that man prayed.
Right.
What was he trying to say though? Elijah was not a superhero. Are you with me?
Yeah.
He wasn't some android programmed to be this way. He was a man with a nature just like you and I. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
Therefore, all God says is earnestly pray to me.
That's right.
Earnestly pray to me and believe me.
Hallelujah.
And I will show myself strong. Hallelujah. Okay, you ready for number 7? The last one.
Yes.
Everybody smile. The last one, hallelujah, actually is found in the first few verses of Isaiah 55. I said we're going to spend all our time in 54, but I lied a little bit. We're going to move over just a few verses into 55 because, again, there's no chapter break in the prophetic word. Okay? And look what he says. Ho! I know, don't laugh. Don't laugh. Thank God didn't say ho, 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 right? Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come. Buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in, there it is, abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen. Listen, what? Come on, say it, that you may live. You could say it this way, that you may really live. We think live is what we do for a living. And that's what's killing us. That you may live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercy shown to who?
David.
Now get this. Behold, I have made him, David, what? What does it say? Stay with me. A witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you will call a nation. This is exciting. You will call a nation you do not know. And a nation which knows you not will run to you because of the Lord your God, even the Holy One of Israel. Why? Come on, guys. For he has glorified you. So seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. Now, I know I said this earlier, but if we're going to be fruitful with the Lord, our Creator, our husband, then we're going to have to be intimate. Hello? We've got to draw near.
That's right.
We have to be intimate with him, or there can be no children. There can be no children without intimacy with him. And let's be honest, why do we spend our money and work so hard for that which does not nourish us or satisfy us? Not really, right?
Right.
We get nourished in a way of something, then we try to work to get rid of it. But if we'll listen carefully, we'll eat what is good. Amen? He wants you to know the abundance. If we'll draw near, what does it say? He will draw near to us. Amen. He's not playing coy games with us. He's not playing hide and seek with us. He's just saying, draw near. Come after me. And why? I'll come after you.
Right.
You remember the prodigal? Talk about a father.
Yeah.
We all know that the prodigal came to his senses, right? He said, I'll go back to my father's house. He wasn't totally full because he was going to come back and be a servant. Of course, we know the father changed all of that in an instant, right? He wouldn't, you're not going to come back and be my servant, you're my son. But do you remember, we miss this sometimes. He said when he was on his way back, everybody say on his way back.
On his way back.
The father saw him. What does that tell you? Daddy was looking. Daddy, Papa was looking. He was expecting him to come. He's going to see from afar. That's the way we need to live. We need to live. Our sons and daughters are coming from afar. Amen? Amen. And have that heart. And I love this. He ran to him. And embraced him and kissed him. And before he could even go through his little diatribe about, I'm not worthy to be your son, he kind of like, none of that. And he took off the filthy garment and put the robe of righteousness on him, put the ring on his finger, sandals on his feet, which is purpose and destiny as a child of the king. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. A moment of grace restored him. Aren't you glad for the grace of God? Hallelujah. Oh. The key to this number 7 is that, why is David a witness? I believe it's because David was not only a warrior, but he was a worshiper. And he's really known in the New Covenant for more than being a warrior. If you look in Acts 13, he's known as the man after God's own heart. But even better, in that same chapter it says, for David, after he was laid to rest, had served the purposes of God for his generation. And guys, if we go into eternity with no sons and daughters, then we serve the purposes of God in our generation. Hello? If we lived our lives as Christians barren, right? Anybody want it broken off today? I'm serious. I am serious. Those of you online with us, God wants to break it off us. But the heart of worship is that posture, that heart that David had. That's the posture to where we'll actually see and call nations we don't even know. And guess what? They'll run to us. Why? They're not going to run to my preaching ability or Daniel's worship leading ability or Virgil's, the virtuoso on the keyboard. They're not going to be drawn to that. They're going to be drawn to the glory of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes. It kind of takes the pressure off, but at the same time puts a drive in us to press into God like never before. Because I can't make this happen. Can you? I can quote it all day long, and I can shout all day long, but it's the presence of God that we need.
Yeah, that's right.
Restored to the church, and we all need it restored to us on an individual level in the secret place of prayer. Because the glory comes from a life of intimacy, where we radiate the glory of God. It's going to be supernatural. I believe that. It's going to be supernatural what God's going to do. Do y'all receive this word?
Yeah.
Seriously, do you receive it?
Yes.
Now here, I'm going to ask you, I want us to activate it. I'm going to ask the musicians to come back. After I just got through talking about how nobody's coming for them. But yeah. I want to do something. Everybody stay with me. We're going to stand up. And we're going to activate the very first part of this word. Okay? But then I actually want you to sit down. And I want to lead you in some prayers. And we're going to worship and pray. And ask God to do some things in our heart. Okay? Because I want you to have the endurance. And I want you just to, you know, you ever been in a meeting where the guy asks everybody to stand up and raise their hands, and then he talks for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And you're like going, okay, I'm really getting tired now. So we're not going to do that to you. But would you stand up? Everybody at home, I know it's hard when you're just at home on the couch, but stand up. Stand up with us right now if you want this broken off of you. Because I'm telling you guys, I believe God wants you to release a shout to begin to break the chains of barrenness off of your life. Amen?
Amen.
And I'm going to just say to you today that your spiritual womb will become fruitful.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Are y'all with me?
Yes.
All the guys are getting nervous. What? Well, after all, the Lord's your husband. Amen?
Yes.
So I just want you to understand God's wanting to do something powerful. So what I want you to do, I want us to shout. You say, what do I shout? I like the universal word of praise.
Hallelujah.
I like hallelujahs. I mean, I love hallelujahs. But I want you to shout as loud and forceful as you need to shout to break off barrenness. And I also want you to shout more than once, also as a shout of celebration. Amen?
Amen.
And I believe what we're going to do next when we pray is actually going to be triggered and keyed upon our faithfulness to do this right now. Are you ready? And then after that, the musicians are going to play lightly. We're going to close in worship, but I want to lead you in some prayers before we run out of here today, okay? Everybody okay with that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Are you ready?
Yes.
Anybody want to see their sons and daughters come forth?
Yes.
I'm serious. Anybody tired of being barren? Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Anybody want to get excited about who
yes.
God is bringing unto us in this hour?
Hallelujah.
Well, then lift up a shout in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah! 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 King of glory! King of glory! Hallelujah! We celebrate! We celebrate!
Hallelujah!
I am bearing no more! Amen! Come on, Freedom Gate, we are bearing no more! One more shout, come on, one more shout. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! The Lord told me it needs to be constant. Not just today. Your neighbors are going to think something's wrong at your house. Amen? Yeah. Start to shout, amen? Now be seated. Be seated. Can y'all hear me with the musicians playing? Y'all need to grab that mic. Y'all can hear me? Okay. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I sense something break. Now, I've been shouting all week leading up to this, but I'm sensing something breaking in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Would you do this? Just put your hands in front of you. Just relax in the presence of the Lord. Relax in His love. I just want to lead some prayers, and at times I may ask you to actually pray with me, okay? But in the meantime, just give your agreement to these prayers. Would you do that?
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we come before You right now. And we ask You, Lord, to prepare our hearts for enlargement. Enlarge us from within for the increase that You wish to bring to Your remnant church, all over, not only here, Lord, but all over the planet. Lord, give us the ability, I pray, to lift up our eyes and see the harvest. Would you ask the Lord right now for the eye salve? Go ahead. Ask Him for that eye salve to heal your eyes. Give it voice right now. Some of you may want a prophetic action. Just place over your natural eyes and just place your hands there. Lord, we receive the eye salve to open our eyes to see. Pray this with me. Holy Spirit, You give me dreams and visions. You give me the insight of the greater things than these. Allow me to see the children, the sons and daughters coming from afar, to envision them possessing nations and resettling cities for the glory of God. Whew. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Be released upon everyone. Be released on everyone, even in their homes right now. That anointing to prepare our hearts. We say to our hearts right now, enlarge, enlarge, enlarge. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, mashata. Oramekisa. Oh, the Lord would say, I could still do above and beyond what you could ask or think. The Lord would say, you're not stretching me. You're not challenging me, says the Lord. For as you dream, I'm thrilled with your heart to dream with me, says the Lord. I'm thrilled that your heart and your spiritual eyes would gaze upon the things that man would say is impossible. But I remind you today, saith the Lord, that all things are possible to he who believes. Say, I believe, Lord. Come on, say it. Say, I believe, Lord. I activate my faith. Come on. Come on. Now let's pray a prayer of consecration. Let's pray a prayer of consecration right now. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, I give my heart to live for You, for Your purposes, for Your kingdom. I desire to truly be all in for Your kingdom. All in for the vision. All in to build Your church and to reach the harvest of nations. I choose in Your presence today to cross over, into Your heart, into Your desire, into Your delight. Not my will, but Your will be done, Lord. And today I take hold of Your courage. I take hold of the courage that You bring to me. And may I be in the body of Christ an encourager and never a discourager. In Jesus' name. Lord, I just take hold of your courage right now. Some of you are going to sense a renewed courage. And fear, when it tries to approach, is just going to quickly leave like a vapor when you tap into the courage of God. So I say to you today, be bold and be strong in the strength of the Lord. For the Lord your God is with you, and He is still mighty to save. He will never leave you, nor will He ever forsake you. I don't know about you, but that gives me courage. Amen? That gives me courage. The next area I want us to pray about, and I'm going to ask you to pray, but I want you to make it very personal. For I think each of us need to make that decision. Would you pray this with me to the Lord? Lord Jesus, I ask you, reveal to me any idolatry, any distraction, anything that keeps me from a full commitment, from being a disciple. I choose to count the cost and to return to the guidepost and the signpost, to the disciplines and the parameters, to get back to the life you've called me to. I commit to live as a disciple, to live in community with those whom I may speak to and pray with and have accountability with one another in the body of Christ. Give me the grace to do this, for I am weak, but give me the grace. In Jesus' name I pray. Now, Lord, I pray that you would release your grace over all of us right now. Again, I say, don't fear this kind of commitment. Don't fear it. He's worthy of the cost you would pay to have it. It's healthy for you. And know this, beloved, God notices. God notices. And there's no one in the sound of my voice that God doesn't want to put into His book. It puts your name as a God-fearer, as he who walks in awe and reverence of God. I want you right now even to imagine that God sees you that way. Thank you, Lord, my God. Whew. Ramakasita. Let's pray again. Dear Lord, I come to believe for and contend for that the spirit and power of Elijah would be upon me, upon my household, upon this church for your glory, Lord. And I choose this day to turn my heart toward the harvest, toward the sons and daughters, toward the children, Lord. To turn my heart, believing that you are anointing me for this time of restoration. I ask for it. Lift up your hands. I ask for it. I receive it right now. Just take hold of it right now. I receive it right now. Holy Spirit, come. Release, Holy Spirit, I pray, a new level of anointing upon us all to not only see the harvest, but to go reap it. Hallelujah. To go reap it in Jesus' name. I also pray for you all today that the Lord would give you a grace to recognize and deal with any spirit of Jezebel, any spirit of manipulation and witchcraft. That God will remind you that none of that comes from Him, and none of that does He approve. For you are not alone. Freedom Gate, you are not alone. Amen. You're not the only ones. We're not alone in this journey. Amen? Amen? There are many who have not bowed their knee to the spirit of this world or to the intimidation of Jezebel. Hallelujah. Help us to recognize it, Lord, not to be fearful of it, but to overcome. But to overcome. In Jesus' name. Place your hand over your heart, which is that over your belly, over your innermost being. Place your hand there right now. I pray for the Lord to put within you today, just to declare over your heart, we will not tolerate Jezebel. I will not tolerate, just say it. I will not tolerate witchcraft and manipulation in my life, in my family, in my marriage, in my church. I will not tolerate it. For God doesn't give me that spirit. Lord, release that grace over us right now. I pray for God to give you a tenaciousness in the spirit, a spirit of faith, in the mighty name of Jesus. Say, I receive it. Come on, say, I receive it. The last thing I want to pray over you, and then I want us to close with worship. But before I do that, I want to encourage you in something. Get into Isaiah 54. Everybody do this. Not right now. Get into Isaiah 54 and just meditate on it a lot in the next week or two. Would you do that? Just meditate on it. And as the Spirit speaks to you when you're reading it, stop and pray into it. Stop and shout. Amen? Stop and give glory to God. And begin to dream according to that. Is that fair enough?
Yes.
Begin to dream according to what the prophetic book shows us, okay? And again, God wants to restore it. So I just want to encourage you right now. Will you do that?
Amen.
Just Isaiah 54. Everybody say it. Isaiah 54. And then, of course, the first few verses of the next chapter. And just meditate there and allow that to kind of seal the word itself into your heart and pray over it. Another thing the Lord told me to tell you, when you read the word, engage your sanctified imagination. Amen? Engage your sanctified imagination. Just stop sometimes and chill out. Don't try to speed read the Bible. Stop and pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help you see what was being prophesied. Amen? And what does that look like in our church, in our family, in this generation? What does it look like? Amen? Is fair enough?
Amen.
And then the other thing, pray a lot. Everybody say a lot. In the Holy Spirit. Okay? In tongues, in your prayer language. Pray a lot. In the Spirit. Get into the Spirit. Because I'll tell you, dreams and visions and revelations come as you begin to do that. Amen?
Amen.
Everybody with me on that? Hallelujah. I see everybody at home waving at me. I know they are. Okay, one more thing and then we're going to close, okay? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I'll lead you in prayer. You ready? Dear Lord Jesus, I commit my heart to drawing near to you. To giving of myself to you, to come and freely drink of the living water that you provide, to worship you, to seek your face. Come on, pray with me, everybody. Let me see your glory. Let me see your glory. Let me see your glory. Face shines on me. Your face shines on me. Your face shines on me. And it's holy. Sing it. Your face shines on me. Your face shines on me. Your face shines on me. And it's lovely. And it's lovely. Every voice. Your face shines on me. Your face shines on me. Your face shines on me. And it's holy. Your face shines on me. Your face shines on me. Your face shines on me, and it's lovely. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon yours and be gracious unto you and give you shalom, peace, to be with you always. In the mighty and powerful and matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Come on, say amen to the Word of God. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up right now. One more time. Sing it out. Your face shines on me. Lift your face. Your face shines on me.
Face shines on me.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Your face shines on me. Your face shines on me. Your face shines on me.
And it's holy. And it's holy. Again,
your face shines on me. Your face shines on me. Your face shines on me. And it's lovely. Your face. Oh, hallelujah. Your face shines on me.
Thank you, Lord. Jesus, Jesus.
Your face shines on me. Your face shines on me.
Hallelujah, Lord.
So lovely.
I honestly believe we're at a place of a shift. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
A shift.
Yes.
Prophetically, like a paradigm, you know? And we just have to press through into it. Amen? I'm excited. It's good to see all of you today. Hallelujah. Some of you, I haven't seen a couple of you in a long time. Maybe a drive-by pastoral visit, you know? Hallelujah. Woo! Y'all received that today?
Yes.
Amen?
Hallelujah.
I hope it blesses you.
Yes.
Might need to listen to it again. Just get it in your spirit. Get into the Word. Soak it. Let me